Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this Wednesday afternoon. And at this time, on Wednesdays, we talk to Chris Mason, Willie's partner in the booth on Fox Sports Tennessee, also former Predator goaltender. And every week he's driven by Freeland Chevrolet. See, Mace, what's up?
What's up? I'm still waiting for that that chauffeur that drives me around in the Chevrolet that you promised me a couple weeks ago.
What a cool gig, huh? if that were the case, that you could just sit in the back and...
I know, right?
You could tweet out videos of yourself. By the way, that was a good video. We had a good laugh at... the trade deadline.
Yeah. Oh, the one today is funny. I love Willie's passion on that one.
I haven't seen today.
Okay.
So
it's pretty good.
I'll have to go check it out.
Where did you find that, by the way? Where are you getting these?
I asked Jake Hartsfield, our pregame producer, because we did all those clips right at the beginning that day or whatever, and then I just asked him to send me all the little things so I could use them for social media.
That's fantastic. Those are good.
Oh, they're great.
I have to check it out. So we learned yesterday with David Poile that you are not the emergency backup goaltender, and you had
the e-bug.
You had tweeted out the e-bugs. There are three, right?
Four
here in Nashville, and it's an interesting dynamic how that whole thing works. But just your thought as a former goalie to see that happen and take place Saturday night after a crazy game here, an 8-round shootout victory for the Preds, and watching Carolina beat Toronto at their place with an e-bug, a guy from Toronto. What did you think?
I thought it was cool. You know, it's such a great story, and David Ayers is everywhere now, and everyone's getting on board. I mean, there's nothing. What other sport, we're trying to talk about this, what other sport could you have, you know, someone like David Ayers, who is a Zamboni driver, it's like out of a movie, to get into a professional game. And we're just saying, like, would that ever happen in football if, you know, your first and second string quarterback came down? You got, you know, some guy.
Imagine what that would be like. That is really, I thought about that. I was like, if you threw me into left field, right, there's like, I had to play left field for the last five innings of a major league game. That would be a lot easier than playing goalie.
So,
right?
Yeah.
Now, if I had to pitch the last five innings, that's a whole other different story, right? I mean, it's amazing to think that.
With that being said, though, that's perfect for this question. I want to ask you, I saved this for you because you played the position, you respect the position, you know what it takes at that position. Is it a little bit insulting to you that some guy, 42-year-old Zamboni driver, could just waltz his way in the middle of a second period and win a game in the NHL?
Well, no, absolutely not. I mean, did you watch the game?
The
Carolina Hurricanes absolutely shut down
the
Maple Leafs. You know,
they only faced 10 shots, I think?
Yeah, you know, and it's awesome. You know, I love the story, but it's not, hey, if someone can do that, and they can come in and they can play awesome, and they do that, good for them. I'm not insulted one bit. I think it's an awesome story. I think you know, because this happened, and you know, it's happened a couple times over the last couple years, I think the GMs will probably talk about a different type of scenario where, you know, guys have to have certain qualifications, or every team has their own, or they carry a third guy, whatever the situation may be. But what, you know, all these big, huge playoff race games are going on, and what's everyone talking about? David Ayers gets in a game, wins the hockey game. You know, it's just fun. It breaks up the monotony. I love it. If some accountant comes in and he gets a shutout in an NHL game, he plays 58 minutes. Hey, I'm not insulted one bit. I'm all for it. I love it.
I think what bothers me sometimes is, you know the three of us, Chris, and we are huge, huge fans of hockey, the sport, the player, the whole thing. It's great. But what bothers me is the old guard of hockey. It just drives me crazy with something like Don Cherry last year with Carolina, right? Storm surge. And then now this, and them coming out and you know, blasting for having, you know, it's a joke. It's a mockery to the sport. It's like, can hockey not be fun? Can we not just have a little fun with hockey? It is 2020, and that's what drives me crazy, is when the old guard comes out screaming, get off my ice.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I love all the new stuff, and I think it's great. I think that's the way that, you know, you're going to attract new fans. But having said that, I respect guys' opinions that don't agree with it, that don't like it. They don't have to like it just because that's the way it's going, and that's, you know, the majority of us, the majority of the fans and the people in the game like that, and you like to see personality and teams having fun. But hey, if that's the way they feel, if they feel strong enough about it, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But I personally, I know you guys do too, we love the, you know, the authenticity of the sport, but you also love the personality and the people that really, I think, attach you to the sport and they bring you more in, and you get closer when you know players on the team, and you know you get to see guys off the ice or off the field, that you become more attached to your team. And I think it's just good for the sport when, you know, it's entertainment. Like, the guys are playing, they're leaving it out there all on the ice. Why can't they have fun after the game and do something for the fans? You know, everyone pays good money to follow a team. You buy tickets, you're buying merchandise, you spend a lot of time invested into your team. And I think, you know, everybody should get the bang for their buck. And at the bottom line, if you want your league to succeed, you need to keep finding ways to bring in new fans and keep the ones you have.
Willie, just show me that video you tweeted. That's freaking hilarious. That is freaking hilarious.
That day, it's called Gladiator Day. You basically just walk in front of the camera and act the fool for about 30 minutes and just see what comes out of it. And you come up with all these little vignettes. Some of the ones that Hal and Mace have, they're sliding across. I mean, it's nuts.
I got to find our handshake one, too. We got to plan a little better because we just kind of make them up when we get there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're fun.
All right, now that the dust has settled, what do you make David Poile a little bit different, right? We're usually talking about, you know, what do you think of Wayne Simmons? What do you think of Mikael Granlund? What do you think of Brian Poile? We're talking about guys, you know, additions in the room. No additions. One subtraction. Matt Irwin, great guy to deal with. Loved being around him over the years. But it's the, you know, this is the room they're moving forward with, and it's up to the players now to get them where they need to be for these final 20 games. What did you make of what the front office did or didn't do?
Well, honestly, it was exactly what I thought they would do. I mean, Skillsy, Willie and I had a text chain going talking about what do you think they're going to do, and I think we all kind of thought this would be the direction that they would go just because of the way the seasons went, where they are. You know, it seems like things are trending up, and this team is slowly moving in the right direction. Now, they're in a playoff spot now. They're in control of their own destiny. So I didn't think, unless they got a big haul, which would be, you know, a really high draft pick and a serviceable NHL player replacement for either Smith or Granlund, I didn't think they would move any of those guys. Just because you still have a good team. There's still 20 games left. It's starting to move in the right direction. So what kind of message does that send if you send one of those guys away and you don't get a player back that can play on your roster? It doesn't send a great message to me, in my opinion. So I think you just say, you know what, let's stick with what we got. I think it was almost, you know, as well, maybe doing Matt Irwin a favor as well and giving him an opportunity to go somewhere he might play a little more and be able to earn a contract, and you bring a bigger body and Holzer, somebody that, John Hines said can help on the penalty kill, a little bigger body in front of the net, those types of things. So I like it. I think it was the right way to approach the deadline.
Chris Mason is with us, and Mace, they've had a couple of wins that you would not call dominant wins, and especially when you consider the competition, you're still looking for that gear. But tell me what you think they're doing really well right now. They are 9-4-1. In the last 14 games, they're trending up, but I think we all feel like there's got to be something better there if they're going to ultimately get to where they want to go. But where is the foundation right now?
Well, I think you're seeing this team when they start to play, and everybody plays according to what the game plan is, and they manage the puck really well. I find, you know, they're becoming a harder team to play against. I thought they did a really good job. My two favorite games recently, in terms of this, are probably the two St. Louis games because of the opponent and because of the physicality and emotion involved in both of those games. They're quite different, actually. But I think that, you know, everybody, you know, nobody was trying to beat guys one-on-one. I thought a little bit last night to start the game, I thought guys were, you know, it's hard not to do this. You look at the roster, you're like, we're way better than these guys. Who are half these guys? You know, so you go and you think that you don't have to play the same way. And then once you realize that that's not going to work for you. You go back and you reset it and you start doing things the right way. And I think once they started doing that, they started having their way with the Sens last night. But I think they have an understanding of what John Hines wants. And when they do play that, they're very successful when all the guys play it. So I think their structures come around, their defense. And to me, I just feel like there's more confidence, the body language. And I think that, you know, when you hear the guys getting interviewed, even after bad games or they don't play well, I still think they're able to, you know, hold their head high. And just, you can just feel that they have a lot more confidence as a team. So I think, again, I still think there's a lot of room for improvement. I think the best is yet to come. They have a higher ceiling. I've been hoping for that for a long time, but I still do think that there's improvement, but I see it's gradually getting a lot better.
The vibe, I think, will be different tomorrow night, and I hope the fans come in there. I think there's going to be a lot of energy as the game starts tomorrow with the importance of the Flames coming in. There's been some pretty exciting games between these two teams, and all you got to do is look at the standings, right?
Oh, man, this to me... You know, you look at those Ottawa, Columbus, they're obviously it's a big game because of where you are in the standings, and, you know, you could say every game is the biggest game of the year, but this game is the biggest game of the year by far. And these guys, I love the games that Calgary and Nashville have. They're really spirited. You know, they have a little bit of revenge coming maybe from that game that the Flames came back and beat us at Bridgestone earlier in the season. So this is going to be a huge game, and this is one where you have to have that kind of playoff mindset, a little bit of those nerves and that fear before the game, because if you do come out and you play like you did against the Ottawa Senators in the first period, the game could be over in the first period against the Calgary Flames. I mean, they just beat the Boston Bruins. This is a team that, you know, they have what we want. They're 2 points ahead. They're one spot ahead in that first wild card spot. If Nashville beats them tomorrow, they take that over because I think they have the regulation win advantage. They'll be tied in points, but they get that spot. So it's huge.
Chris Mason is with us, Preds TV analyst alongside Willie D. Rocco Grimaldi rewarded for his hard work, 2-year contract extension. We talked to him on the day it was announced on trade deadline day, but a really cool story, somebody we all like to deal with, but a big part of this team now, and he is rewarded for it. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? There's nothing like a good underdog story, if you want to call it that. Somebody that's, you know, had a long path to get to where, you know, to realize a dream and to get to the NHL, and a player, you know, of his size, unfortunately, they have to go through more obstacles to get where they want to be, even though, you know, he's probably proved himself at numerous levels over and over and over again. But the fact that he got this opportunity in Nashville, and, you know, you never know in your life if you ever get another chance, you know, to get a second opportunity, and he got this chance and he took advantage of it. And the guy he flat out works. He's a heart and soul player. You know, he's an inspirational type of person and player, I think. You know, when he's on the ice, much like Victor Arvidsson, the Arvy hustle, he just never stops working. He goes after, you know, Zdeno Chara or anybody else in the league. He doesn't back down from anything. So I just really, it's nice to see people that deserve to be rewarded get rewarded. So I was really happy for him, and that's a good signing for the team, no question.
Chris, I can remember early in Pecorine's career that he had to play a lot of games together. When he played more, he was better. It was just that getting in that consistent rhythm. Now that he's older and the role is somewhat changing, UC Saros is playing more, I feel like he has been able to adapt, and you can see that he can take a few games off and still be just as effective. He's had some gems as of late, but if you need him, you know, of course, for a playoff run, he's going to be good to go. How difficult is it to adapt as a goaltender to the changing roles?
That's a good question, because it's a major adjustment. You know, when you get to play every game, it's a different mindset, because you know that, you know, obviously you got to go and perform, but if you know let in a bad goal, or you have a rough night, or, you know, things don't go your way, you know you're going to get back out there the next game. So you don't have to, you know, cry over spilt milk, or you don't have to, it doesn't have to sit with you for too long before you get back on the horse again. But when you're, you know, when you're in a role where you're taking less games, there's more time in between games, there's more time to think, there's more you know, analysis and the preparation. You know, if you feel good in that game, you don't play for, let's say, another week, you kind of have to recapture that feeling, find, you know, it's a lot more work. I think when you're playing all the time, you just go with the flow and you're, you know, you get in a rhythm. It's a lot harder to get in a rhythm when you don't play all the time. So it takes time to, you know, find out how to do that and what you need to do and how to prepare on the game. How do you prepare during the practice week? Do you take different kind of drills? Do you watch video? You know, so everyone's got their own routine and way of doing that, but it's definitely something that, you know, individually you have to figure out.
Big tilt tomorrow night. Calgary in town.
Calgary.
Yes, sir. Good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Tell the driver for being a good driver. You didn't scream or nothing. It was a good interview. Thanks.
He was awesome. Yeah, he was great.
Chris Mason, driven by Freeland Chevrolet, every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. What a cool gig right there. And we appreciate him joining us. Jay Bomeister, if I can spit it out, has spoken to the media. We will tell you on, he has addressed his future for the rest of this season with the Blues. We'll tell you what he said. On the other side, right now I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. And they've got more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. That's a lot of homeowners. And right now, with all the rain we've been getting, maybe you've noticed bowing basement walls. If you have a basement, standing water in a crawl space, or musty odors, or rot in floor joists, that's bad. Condensation on ductwork, cracks in basement floors, all these are bad. And that means you need to pick up the phone and get the experts out to your house, because you're wondering, why are things wet at my house? Well, maybe you have poor drainage. Water does seep through walls. Maybe you have underground pressure that's forcing water into your basement, if you have that. Look, the bottom line is the experts will come out and they will give you a true assessment of what's going on. And maybe it's something you don't have to worry about, but if you do, they can tackle that for you. They can give you a free estimate. They're locally owned. They're licensed and insured. They believe in their quality of work, their reputation, and their integrity there at USS. So if you need to get them out to your house, call 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. Or go to their website, usstn.com. As they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS. 1, 2, 3, 4. You can join the Preds in Columbus, Ohio, Saturday, March 14th. And ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yep, Nationwide Arena. Reds and Blue Jackets. Tickets are on sale now. To purchase, go to thegamenashville.com. Trip is organized by simplyafan.com. You can also go to their website and look for upcoming sports adventures. Transportation provided by Gray Line of Tennessee. And no, they will not let Chase drive that bus.
I don't want to drive the bus. I'm good just riding the bus.
You just want to have fun.
I do. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Go and get your tickets. I'll be on that trip. Ryan Porth is going. Little overnighter in Columbus. I've never been to Columbus, so I'm excited about that. Just don't want to hear the cannon more than once. And, yeah, it'll be fun. We'll have movies and trivia. I promise not to sing. I was asked not to, so I won't. I will dance. That's fine. But come on. Join us.
Be a fun trip. Last year it was St. Louis. Speaking of St. Louis, the Blues held a press conference today, and Doug Armstrong, their general manager, Jay Bomeister, spoke, and Armstrong said that Jay Bomeister will not play this season, and any long-term decisions will be made later on, probably in the off season. So St. Louis, yet again, with another big blow. No Jay Bomeister. They haven't had Tarasenko for most of the season, and yet they just keep winning. But Tarasenko, they may get back. I don't know when. Probably the playoffs would be my guess.
Have they really revealed much? I think they feel like they're going to get him back. The question is, would it be in time to do something in the regular season to have some games under your belt before? I know for a while there was talk about salary cap implications.
Right. It would be better to hold him to the playoffs.
Yeah. But I'm not sure that that's something they have to abide by now. But that's in fact, the game that the Predators beat them, the second of the two, right? Those were two impressive wins by the Predators. The first game, St. Louis was still in a period of time where they had lost what they were 2-6-3 or something in their previous, or 2-5-3.
It was 2-7-3
after the Predators beat them twice. So it was like coming into the first games 2-5-3. They're struggling a little bit. The first period, Nashville was ready to go. They came out of the gate flying, and St. Louis was flat. The next day here, St. Louis was locked in from start to finish. And they controlled a lot of action. Since then, they have been lights out. They have really played well. Now, last night was a wild game. They won 6-5 against the Blackhawks. That's kind of it's the kind of game you don't see the Blues playing very often.
Four goals in the third period.
That is usually they're beating you like they beat the Wild on Sunday night. You know, just grinding you down 3-1, 4-2, 2-1 if they need to.
I don't pretend to know. I'm just going on the past and, you know, just logic, common sense, in my opinion. Jay Bouwmeester would be going into season next year, 37 years old into the season.
Mm-hmm.
37, he's logged a ton of games in this league, over 1,200 games. An incident like that, a scary, crazy incident like that, dare I say I would be more on the floored side if he said he was coming back and playing. Like, I suspect that'll be it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's...
Didn't his heart stop in it, like, the same? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happened before, and it's pretty much ended.
Well, and Yuri Fisher never came back, right?
Nope.
And did that end...
Rich Peverly.
Was Rich Peverly, did that end it, or was that right...
I think that ended.
I think it ended it. I mean,
I don't think he played again.
Remember Greg Johnson, the late Greg Johnson... he moved from Nashville, signed a contract with the Red Wings, and failed the heart test, and that ended his career. So he never played after he left the Predators just because of the precautionary part of it, right? He failed the physical because of an irregular heartbeat. So you got to be super careful with that stuff. Remember years ago, the Celtics star player, was it Reggie Lewis? Mm-hmm. Is that his name?
Yep.
And then, of course, Hank Gathers on the college level. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to stay on top of that stuff. I know, you know, the medical advances have happened, you know, have certainly happened since these times we're talking about, but can't be too careful.
So he is shutting it down for the season, for the year, and make a decision in the offseason. Like I said, I really would be shocked if Jay Bouwmeester plays again. I mean, he's had a great career. He's logged, like I said, a ton of time in the league, has spent a long time. He'd be going into 37 years of age and a scary thing like that.
Got a cup. He got the cup last year. He's checked most of the boxes.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. I don't see it. So that's probably it for Jay Bouwmeester. Now, what happens with Tarasenko? I think what's really interesting is which is why there's more intrigue on the Predators being in the spot that they're in for the first time since mid-November, actually being in a playoff spot after everything played out in their favor. They got the 2 points. Arizona lost. Winnipeg only got a point. And right now, the Predators are the final wild card team. I look at this Western Conference, and I just see, St. Louis deserves the credit. They're the defending Stanley Cup champs, and they've been pretty much in control most of the season. So, you know, I think you would have to say they're the team to beat, but I also don't look at the West like I look at the East, and I think the East is, at the top, it is heavy.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy. And I don't look at the West like I look at the East. Like, I think the East is going to beat each other's brains in. And the West, I think, is just more wide open. That's what I think.
It's definitely wide open, but this is how I look at it, and you guys tell me if you look at it the same way. I mean, if you get in, you got to play somebody. So the whole conversation of who would you rather play and all that stuff, I mean, it's fun for us, but you got to play somebody. Now, I will say that there are some teams that scare me more than others. Is that fair?
Like, who scares you more than us? So give me the teams that scare you more than and Dallas, list the teams.
Dallas scares me. Dallas scares me a lot for the Predators. Okay.
There's a home and home with Dallas coming up not and too long
learn,
from now.
We could learn some, you know, learn more, but because we haven't seen them since the Winter Classic. So
okay, who else scares you?
Colorado.
Okay, who else?
Honestly, scares me, that's it. Scares
St. Louis doesn't scare you.
No.
They don't scare you.
I think it's a good matchup.
But well, I mean, I know they had their way in the regular season.
I'm not scared. And I'm not going. I like the matchup against St. Louis better than Dallas or Colorado. And quite frankly, if I had my choice, I'd rather go to the Pacific. I know you have to factor in the travel and all that. But
okay, who scares you in the Pacific?
Nobody really scares me. Vegas makes me nervous.
I think Vegas
is pretty good, and they're getting better.
My hunch is that Vegas is going to get a crank in here down the stretch and win.
I think
that
they've already started.
They definitely have. I mean, were they 6-1-6 in a row?
But Edmonton
they're 7-2-1 in their last 10.
Yep. But I hesitate. I mean, they just barely have even crossed the line here. There's so much work to be done. You're thrilled to be in the tournament, and you'll take whoever you play. But there's no question down the stretch because it's extremely unlikely that the Predators could get into the top three of the Central. The top three are as locked in as you can be in some order, right? Dallas, Colorado, St. Louis, those are going to be the top three in the Central.
I cannot imagine.
Somebody has the absolute wheels fall off, and the Predators would have to play completely lights out.
You need two things to happen. It's highly unlikely.
It's highly unlikely.
Wheels fall off and somebody get on a massive heater.
So the bottom line is you're playing the division winner in either the Central or the Pacific,
correct,
if you make it.
And you want the Pacific, in my opinion.
Yep. That's how I feel.
And that what comes with that is the extended travel.
Yeah, but that's a part of it.
Yep.
I mean, look, that's how it is in the West.
It is a factor.
It's that or the which one would you have? Less travel, better opponent, in our opinions, or more travel and lesser opponent?
All right, let's go back to 2017. Last day of the season. Predators are in Winnipeg. Winnipeg is not going to the playoffs. Nashville leads the game by a goal in the final minute. If Nashville wins, they are wild card one, and they play Anaheim. Oh, I'm sorry. No. I'm trying to remember what the scenario. It looked like there was a scenario where they were going to play either Anaheim in the first round.
You're right.
They lost, they played Chicago. Yeah, because Chicago was the overall one.
Yeah.
Okay, so if they win, they play Anaheim. They lose, they play Chicago. Winnipeg scores two goals in the final, I don't know, minute and a half or something.
Yep.
It turned around in a hurry. And all of a sudden, you're playing the Blackhawks. But I think privately, the Predators were like, you know, that's not all bad. Because remember, the year before, they had played Anaheim in the first round, a knockdown, drag-out, seven-game series that they won, had to turn right around, fly up the coast and go to San Jose. And they played another knockdown, drag-out, seven-game series, yo-yoing back and forth, and they were out of gas by the seventh game. So that particular year, just because I think they were influenced by what happened the year before, they were kind of happy with the matchup for Chicago, and it worked out well. So they, instead of playing Anaheim,
well,
San Jose.
That's why I'm not scared of St. Louis. I like that matchup.
They had Chicago, St. Louis, much less travel, right? Mm-hmm. So you never know.
They were tanking for Tommy Hawk?
No, I don't think they were tanking, but it was pretty wild how the Jets scored too late.
Skateboard on ice, not good. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. We're always keeping you on your toes on this show.
Indeedly.
You know, it's how we roll. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You must call in. Do not text, because we're going to give you tickets to see Chris Stapleton at Bridgestone Arena Saturday, October 3rd. But you're going to have to answer a question on the air. So that's how we're going to roll. We're going to do this contest on the air. We're going to do it live. Let's do it live. 615-737-1025. Jump in there for your opportunity to be at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday night, October 3rd, to see Chris Stapleton. I would say it's safe to say that'll be a sold-out show, Chase.
I would say so.
Right? I mean, I can't imagine that that's not a super, super hot ticket.
In fact, I'm pulling up some information here. I think they've added a second show.
Oh, well, that's always the sign. Kind of like when Luke Combs came, right? Started at one, and then it grew to two.
October 2nd and 3rd. Chris Stapleton.
Okay. So we're going to do a little hockey question on the air.
And I like the questions.
On the air. 737-1025 as the lines explode. So let's just get a name. Elijah, just get a name. That's all. Just get a name.
Just a name.
That's all we need. And then, so let's go on and reveal the category, Willie.
The category would be hockey.
Oh. Okay. Well, I just said that, but yeah. Did you want to get a little bit more specific or no?
It's a couple different worlds coming together.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm not going to, I don't want to give any more.
I didn't know if you wanted to expound on me saying it's going to be a hockey question.
He's saying
or,
if he expounds, he could give something.
Yeah,
away.
I don't want to give anything away here.
Okay.
There's no expunging.
Not going to give anything away. No, that's all I got. I will say there is a strand of the Miracle on Ice to it.
Okay.
A strand.
We don't need to be talking about strands right now. Just saying.
That's a good point. Good point.
That is a good point. All right. Let's start with.
There's an element. There's an ingredient.
Need to take
of the Miracle on Ice.
Okay. An ingredient. Oh,
an ingredient.
You're cooking something up over here.
Yes. Well, Chase preferred that I didn't use strand.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
That's fair. Let's go with, let's see, Janice. Janice, you're first up. Are you prepared to try to win tickets to Chris Stapleton?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Willie, the floor is yours.
All right, Janice, if you've seen the movie Miracle, you probably know, or you're old enough to remember watching the Miracle on Ice, you know that the goalie's name for Team USA that was the star in the upset was Jim Craig. Can you tell me the team that drafted and signed him in the NHL to his first pro contract, the first team he played for in the NHL?
Oh, my goodness. I have no idea. Detroit.
Detroit is the guess?
The guess.
And Elijah's going, I don't have a buzzer. Sorry, Janice.
I'm trying to help him. Yeah. Hang on.
Thanks anyway.
Thanks for trying. Now, what we're doing is we're kind of setting this up for what we're going to. We've already hinted at this. In fact, I think we've already said it. We're going to do trivia. We're going to do trivia this summer. We're going to have fun with trivia. And that's something Willie and I did for many, many years at another stop. And it was, let's just say, extremely popular. Extremely popular. So we are going to bring that back in the summer
months. See, this is new to Elijah. Elijah's never done this before.
Yep.
So we're
We just kind of dropped this in his lap last minute.
And
this
is exciting, though. This is right down my alley.
This is a good training ground for this summer months when we're gonna do a whole hour of trivia once a week. It's gonna be fun.
I've actually found the sound effects that you guys used to use.
Oh, really?
Back in the day. So I know there's a lot going on back there, but. Elijah, if you could, give us an example of when you get something right.
It's me and his money.
There you go.
If you get something wrong.
Okay. There we go. We're making progress. Let's go to Marcus. Marcus, you're next up. Welcome in.
Mariota?
Yes, no. Okay. Mariota.
No, that one.
All right, Marcus. Would you like me to repeat the question?
Oh, okay. You're sticking with the same question. Okay.
Stick with the same question.
Okay.
Jim Craig, Miracle on Ice, Team USA goalie, 6-0-1 on the gold medal run, 1980 Olympics, signed and played his first NHL game with what team?
Atlanta Flames.
Paid that man his money.
Was that the captain of the Soviet team that we recorded?
It could have been. Marcus, good job. Did you cheat?
I did.
You did. That's why I was a little surprised that Willie brought back the same question, because Willie, the advancement of technology when we used to do it, right? Back then we could get true, honest answers. But technology today, but honest, an honest answer from Marcus. We appreciate that. Marcus, we're going to put you on hold and get your info, okay?
Appreciate it.
And so now I know why you asked that question.
Why?
Because there was a certain person we know that was the assistant general manager of the Atlanta Flames.
That is correct.
David Poile?
David Poile, I believe, was the guy that went and took him the contract and signed him to the contract.
He was working with, was that Cliff Fletcher?
Was I think that's right. Yeah, and he's got an interesting story. I think that they're, you know, they had drafted him in 1977, so 3 years before the Olympics. And then after the Olympics, you can imagine what that was like. I guess they still held his rights. Though I'm not sure exactly all the details of the rules back then. We'll have to get David Poile to tell that story.
Yeah, let's remember to do that next week. No, next week.
Let's do it.
Let's do that. So we'll have multiple layers to go through, which will help with the process in the summer months.
Yeah.
Since there's three of us.
So you're saying it's not always going to be that easy.
Well,
we reserve the right to switch
Willie,
the question.
Everything is easy if you can Google it, right? Everything, it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're going to have to
We have to put in time
a 5
measures
second,
and stuff.
Right, there's going to be a timer. You're going to be on a clock. You're going to have to get multiple categories to win.
You can't phone a friend.
You cannot phone a friend.
Have we decided a day that we're going to do this? Because I'm excited.
We haven't come up with specific.
We'll workshop it.
No. But we're excited. Our promotion staff, Cliff and Gina and that whole crew, they do a great job. They always give us great prizes. And so we will work on that as well in the summer months.
Indeed.
And so we're looking forward to it. I'm telling you, Chase, I don't know. You probably listened, but you didn't see the inner workings.
I produced it.
No. Well, I mean, when it first like blew up, old stop, like we turned it into a trivia. We turned it into a trivia show out at a place at the Holiday Inn on West End. We did a trivia tournament and a lot of it on air.
We gave away some good prizes, too.
We really did. It was a really cool deal. It was a lot of work, but it was fun.
Here's something you may not know. And maybe you guys want to venture a guess here. So David Poile signs Jim Craig to the Atlanta Flames at age 22. Okay, this is right after, I think this is the 79-80 season. So it's right after he's completed this miracle on ice deal, right? Care to guess how Jim Craig did in the NHL?
I'm going to say not well.
How many games do you think he won?
How many games did he win?
Yeah, how many wins?
10.
You're very close. He was 11-10-7 in his career in 30 games for three different teams. Atlanta, the Boston Bruins, where he was from, went to Boston U, and the Minnesota North Stars. So he played in 30 games in his career in the NHL after that. Mm. Isn't that crazy how tough goalie play is? Yep. Just, you know, he was great in that moment.
But Herb Brooks did have to push him.
Yeah.
He did have to push some buttons.
Now, there were some guys on that team that went on to long NHL careers and did very well. And then there was others that was the peak of their career, right?
There was a guy with the last name Suter on that team. That family's done pretty well.
The family's done well. His brother, Gary, was a great NHL player. Bob Suter, did he ever play in the NHL? I don't think he did.
Well, but
if he did, it was very...
He had a really good kid.
His son is still going strong.
Made a lot of money.
You're going to be seeing that guy pretty soon. There are three matchups between the Predators and the Wild.
He's glad that his best friend is still there with him. Didn't get traded. So that's right. Good. I'm glad they're still together.
We'll come back and wrap up Wednesday show next.
Derek, Donick, and Chase wrapping things up. Look, we're in a giving mood. We keep wanting to give. That's what we do, guys. We give and we give. But this one, you don't have to call in. You actually do have to use your fingers and text in 615-737-1025. All you have to do is text the keyword Preds to the game text line. No exclamation point, no emojis, just Preds at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see your Nashville Predators take on the Calgary Flames tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. So if you want to go to the game, text PREDS to 615-737-1025. That easy.
Jimmy Franks, I think, has been rewarded with a new contract at Penn State. I saw that earlier, just not too long ago, but I don't have any deets. I think it was like 38 and a half. Was it 6 years? 38 and a half million, something like that?
I am pulling it up. You know it's bad. Yeah, 38.2 million.
Was it six?
Worth it, yeah. 6 year contract will pay him up to 38.2 million plus incentive bonuses.
That is over $6 million a year. Good for James.
And the text line explodes.
It's good to be a college football coach these days.
Yes, it is. Especially if you're a college football coach that wins and other schools come and knock in and go, hey, you want to come here? They flirt with you, and then your current school is like, no, here's an extension.
Well, who was flirting with Jimmy?
Wasn't his name out there for some jobs? I don't remember exactly. I just know his name has been one that, you know, some of these insiders will throw out. Oh, well, what if James Franklin left Penn State and stuff like that? I don't know why he would. He's got a pretty good job there and has an even better contract now.
Pretty good gig.
But I do remember Florida State. I think his name was linked to Florida State.
I don't think we're going to be talking about Florida State football for a while.
No, I don't either.
I just get the feeling they're kind of drift away for a bit.
Their basketball team is pretty good.
Yeah. Well, they're traditionally good year in and year out.
They have been sneaky good the last few years, but this might be their best.
Really?
Right?
I don't know. No, they've had some pretty good teams. You think this team is the best?
Well, I just in terms of what their record is at this time, I mean, they've had some good teams, good solid tournament teams. But they're 24-4 right now.
They dismantled Louisville the other day.
29-8 last year, 23-12 the year before, 26-9. Yeah, they're sneaky good. Leonard Hamilton
been around a long time.
I
know he gets it done. You know, we really don't ever talk about him.
You know,
in the college basketball world, and he's had some really, really good teams. Hasn't he rolled some teams through here?
Think
the NCAA tournament?
He was at Miami for a while, remember?
Yep.
I used to hear that. I don't know if this was his nickname, but there were some coaches that referred to him as like CIA, you know, just sneaky. You know, you just don't know what he's up to. He's not in the limelight, right? But he rolls out his team, and they're good every year.
They have not lost a game at home this year. That's pretty impressive. They're 15-0 at home.
14-3 in the ACC. And likely, I mean, they're at Clemson, at Notre Dame, BC at home. They could sweep those three.
Sure could. That'll do it for us. It's a sweep for us. We're out.
We gone.
You have a great rest of your Wednesday. We'll be talking to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. over at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Get you ready for the Predators and the Flames. Stay tuned. Jared and the GM is next.